Robbie Brownlaw was an ordinary cop working fraud for the San Diego Police Department until a push from a sixth-floor hotel room window changed everything. Beating the odds, he survived and became a hero. Rewarded with two quick promotions, he's now the youngest homicide detective on the SDPD. But he now has a neurological condition known as synesthesia. Robbie sees little colored shapes when people speak. Linked to the speaker's emotions, Robbie can use these shapes and colors as a primitive lie detector.
I sat for a few minutes, said Musarov. The rain increased. It was loud against the roof of my car. I looked at the two vehicles parked together in the grass. Because they were slightly behind me, I had to turn to see them. The trees still were between us. I saw an orange flash of light inside the first SUV. It was very bright and immediate. It was over instantly. It was thin and long, like a comet. It appeared to be horizontal. My first thought was someone had just fired a gun.
As I looked at Sanji, yellow triangles floated into the space between us. They came from fear, which is what most of us would feel upon remembering the sound of a gunshot. Did you see the shooter?
A moment later, I saw the shape of a man move between the vehicles. He wore dark clothing. He was very difficult to see.
You're sure it was a man? Sanji nodded.
I am almost sure.
But you didn't call until after 3 that morning, I said. That's over 6 hours. He glanced at me again and sighed.
I know it was wrong to wait.
Why did you?
When I got home, said Musarov, I stayed up late, drinking coffee. I thought about the immigration jail where I was taken after the September 11th attack. It is called CCA, because it is a private jail run by a private company called Corrections Corporation of America. I spent 60 nights there with no charges, no lawyer, no phone calls allowed to me, and no information about my status or future. 60 nights, no exercise, no sun, no contact with my family or friends. My student visa was current and legal. I thought about the suspicion and disdain of the men who interrogated me about the San Diego-based terrorists. I was 15 years old, and my crime was that I attended the same mosque as one of the suicide hijackers.
A flood of yellow triangles swept past me and vanished.
Garrett Asplund was also a cop on the SDPD until a personal tragedy changed everything, destroying his career and his marriage. These days, Garrett is an investigator for the city's Ethics Authority Enforcement Unit, spending his days monitoring city officials. Just when it looks like Garrett is about to reconcile with his wife, he's found dead in his Ford Explorer. Heading up the case, Robbie is confident it's not a suicide. But discovering who killed Garrett might mean uncovering some of San Diego's nastiest secrets.
Garrett Asplund and Carrie Ann Martyr had kicked ass and taken names and put it all on his laptop. He had Captain Chet Fellows from Vice with 3 prostitutes. 3 different girls, 3 different times. It was surreal to see the naked, ununiformed version of a superior I'd worked around during my almost 10-year career. It was interesting that Fellows didn't pay, though he was very specific and sneering about what he wanted the girls to do. Garrett also had a young motor patrol officer on film, though he did pay. $100. I knew little about him, other than his name was Mincher or Mancher or something, and he was a recent hire. There was also a fire department sergeant whose name I didn't know but whose face I recognized. And City Councilman Anthony Rood and his aide, two-fisted Steve Stiles. All caught on video, having the times of their lives with squeaky clean girls. Some paid and some didn't.
This is bad, said Mackenzie.
Bad enough to get you in serious trouble, I said. If you did the wrong thing with it.
Once again, T. Jefferson Parker delivers a riveting story in The Fallen, as Brilliance Audio on a Bridge, 10 hours long, abridged, 6 hours.